Greetings, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Hallelujah. My, what a wonderful, wonderful season we are in. Thanksgiving, Christmas, times when as Christians we celebrate the wonderful blessing of knowing Jesus as our Savior. And if you don't know the Lord today, please stay tuned to this broadcast. If you thought that God is sitting aloof in His heaven, unaware of your circumstance, maybe not even liking you, I've got good news for you today. God loves you. He gave His Son to save you, not because He saw something good in you, but because He just loved you. That is the incredible message of grace, and we're here to declare it today. Amen. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit through the authority of God's holy word. If you're a Christian today, we want you to stay tuned too, right here on WMAF. We are so glad to be broadcasting once again in North Florida and to you, our dear friends in Madison. I hope someday to get up that way. I'm going to be freed up with my time a little more pretty soon, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to do a little more traveling around, and I would just love to come and visit the station. I've never been to the station in North Florida in person, and I would love to just come and meet all the fine people there, and maybe have some kind of an occasion to meet some of our listeners that listen consistently to WMAF and particularly to this broadcast and other great gospel broadcasts. We're so proud of this station, and we're so honored to be part of the WMAF family and to be part of your family. You brought us into your homes, your automobiles, your places of business, and we're very honored to be with you once again today. And we thank God for our fellow ministers who minister in the Madison area. We are all in God's great harvest fields, and I believe that we are reaping the great last day harvest, and souls are so precious. I would love to have a worldwide ministry where tens of thousands are coming to Jesus, but you know something? God will send us to the one. God will send us to the two, the three. Every soul is vital to God, and every work that is done in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God to win souls to the kingdom of God has merit. Amen. There is no big and small in this great world. Grand work. If you were the only person who was lost and needed saving, Jesus would have come. Jesus would have lived and suffered and died on the cross to save you. That's how God's wonderful love operates. We're here to declare it today. We've got a wonderful subject. You in me and I in you. The power and privilege of the believer's union with Jesus Christ. See, this is not just about going to heaven. This is not just about escaping hell. This is about a relationship with God through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, if you have your Bibles, please open them to John's Gospel, the words of Jesus spoken here in John 14, verse 19 and 20. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. And if you're listening by computer in another state or anywhere in the world or right in Tampa where this broadcast originates, we do welcome you back today. We're so glad to have you with us. We're just privileged. I just feel a sense of humility and yet great pride in this broadcast and where it's going, in the sense that I know God is in it. I'm not proud of me. If you met me, you would find I'm just a regular, everyday guy that's called to preach. It's the person I am declaring that is so powerful and so wonderful, and I know the content of this broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus, is to exalt Him. So let's hear from Him today in the 21st century. Let's hear the wonderful words of life from the giver of life, Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 19 and 20. Jesus said, "And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Jesus was speaking of his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. God the Father sent the Spirit so that the members of the body of Christ would be joined to their head in a living union. The indwelling Holy Spirit today unites believers to Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to talk about is that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Pearson writes, and I love this application of this truth, and he says there are great applications of this great truth to our relationship with God. Faith in Christ makes us one with him, so that in God's sight, what is literally and actually true of him becomes judicially, representatively, constructively true of us. We died when he died. We were buried when he was buried. And as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death, that is, our baptism was the confession of our identity with him and our symbolic putting on of Christ. It's kind of an outward expression of something that's happened within us and actually happened to us. Charles G. Trumbull speaks vividly of this new life in Christ. And he says, "The resources of the Christian life, my friends, are just Jesus Christ." I like that. "I realize for the first time the many references to Christ in you, you in Christ, Christ our life, and abiding in Christ are literal, actual, blessed fact, and not figures of speech. Jesus Christ does not want to be our helper. He wants to be our life. He does not want us to work for him. He wants to let him wants us to let him do his work through us, using us as we would use a pencil to write with. Better still, using us as one of the fingers of his hand." Praise God. Amen. Friend, being in Christ, in him is a biblical and spiritual truth, so filled with glory and grace and power and privilege, it is difficult to take it all in. Being in Christ means that we have been totally identified with Jesus, our humanity, because of the cross associated with his divinity. We are identified with his righteousness. Is he righteous? Then so are we in him. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, listen to it, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." One commentary reads, "Because we have become one with him, being rightwise with God is not achieved by our own merit, but by his sacrifice and our identification with him." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You may be listening today and you hear words associated with Christians like holy and righteous. And I want you to know something. That's kind of scary to think that we might achieve such grand heights in God's wonderful kingdom and God's sight and God's heart. And friend of mine, I want you to know, except it was for Jesus and his shed blood, no one could claim righteousness. The Bible clearly states, and there is none in and of ourselves. There is none righteous. No, not one. You know, it reiterates that fact by saying no, not one, because almost everyone thinks they know someone that is just such a good person that they might be considered righteous. But to be right with God is to be so holy, is to be completely sinless. And no one, no, not one, fits that bill. But when you come to Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sins and receive Him into your life as your Lord and personal Savior. Amen. God literally, spiritually identifies you so with Him that you are considered to be in Him. Hallelujah. And I love this scripture. Going to read it again. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, there's a breastplate that we wear according to Ephesians 6 and verse 10 through 14, and it talks about the armor of God. And one of the grand pieces of that armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. The enemy could easily penetrate our own righteousness. He could find our flaws. He could expose our sins, our obvious sins of omission or commission. But this is not our righteousness alone. Amen. This is God's righteousness. This is the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. And we're able to put on God's armor to fight this accuser of the brethren and this great opposer of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. That doesn't let me off the hook for living right. It doesn't let me off the hook for following Jesus as my Lord and Master and King. But it does let me off the hook for trying to be 100% perfect. I can't achieve that. The only man who ever did was the perfect man, and the perfect man was God incarnate, and His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But thank God I put on His breastplate. Amen. And I'm able to stand in my standing. That's why the Bible said, having done all, when you put your armor on, having done all, stand. Praise God. We are identified with His righteousness, and we are identified with His very sonship. See, when you get saved, you're brought into God's royal family. He doesn't accept you as anything less than one of His bona fide children. Praise God. I often say it at church, God has no stepchildren. Is He a son? Is Jesus a son? Then so are we, God's sons and daughters. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. The New International's wonderful translation of this. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And the Amplified said, what an incredible quality of love. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the sons of Almighty God. And because of that, we become heirs of God. Is He an heir of God? Is Jesus an heir of God? Then so are we in Him. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. Again, I love the Amplified. It said, fellow heirs of Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. The great redemptive work of Christ on the cross grants unto us sonship, and through sonship, heirship. The glory of this standing with God is that He has not just forgiven our sins, but that He has brought us into His own family with all the blessings and privileges of sonship and inheritance. Praise God. Listen, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're not saved, and for that matter, even if you are saved and all you're feeling is that your sins have been forgiven because of God's mercy and grace, and you're just, and this is kind of a worn out, cliched old phrase, you know, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm going to have to agree that you were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace. Amen. But I want that mindset to change as you hear the mighty word of God today. Amen. The Bible said now that His seed remains in us. Christ has come to live within us, and God has positionally repositioned us. We're not of the devil anymore. We're of our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Amen. And 1 John said His seed remains in us that we sin God, sin not. We have a new nature. And the Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. And the Bible goes on to say, he that committeth, which means to live habitually in. No one can be sinless, not even the best Christian. But we cannot let sin overpower us, overcome us, constantly rule us and enslave us. Don't let it reign in our body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. There's not a preacher, there's not a saint of God in the world that's ever lived that didn't have to get on their knees and ask God's forgiveness for and something said in anger, something said in malice, something done with selfish intentions. Oh, friend of mine, but sin doesn't dominate us. When a Christian does sin, it's different. Our heart is pricked. We go before God. We repent. We confess our sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sin doesn't reign in us anymore. So we're not just old sinners saved by grace and left enslaved by sin. No, we have become the sons of God, the daughters of God. And the Bible said His seed, His nature remains in us, remains as a constant in our hearts and lives, that we sin not. We have a new nature. Amen. We used to sing the old camp meeting song, I'll have a new body and I'll have a new life. Praise God. I don't have the new body yet, but praise God, I've got the new life. And I love this life that I live in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about our bona fide sonship, the great word filled with such overwhelming privilege and power is adoption. Romans 8:14-15 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're more than just sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We were in terrible bondage. We have been bought, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and now we are the sons of God. Look at Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath given forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate this. The way they understood it was so powerful in Paul's culture in the time of this writing. The adoption process in Paul's culture must have been very impressive because it was carried out by a symbolic sale in which copper and scales were used. twice the real father sold his son, and twice he symbolically bought him back. Finally, he sold him a third time, and at the third sale, he did not buy him back. After this, the adopting father had to go to the praetor, one of the principal Roman magistrates, and plead the case for the adoption. Only after all this had been gone through was the adoption complete. It was carried out in the presence of seven witnesses to make it official. When the adoption was complete, it was complete indeed. The person who had been adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. That's what is meant in a very real sense when it said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Hallelujah. It's part of that new, regenerated life in Jesus Christ. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. So new that even all debts and obligations connected with his previous family were abolished as if they never existed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you know how gone your sins are when you receive Jesus as your Savior? The Bible said he would cast them away from you as far as the east is from the west, and he would remember your sins no more. That sin debt has been paid by Jesus Christ, and you have been saved, and through that great salvation adopted into God's royal family. You have no rights, and you have no allegiances. You have nothing to do with the old family. Before we became saved, we were of our father, the devil. We were part of his spiritual family, but now we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. That's what Paul says that God has done for us. We were absolutely in the power of sin and of the world, and God, through Jesus, took us out of that power into his, and that adoption wipes out the past and makes us new. This is forensic testimony. This is your legal standing, your legitimate claim to your rightful inheritance. Now we are the sons of God. In the American literary classic, The Prince and the Pauper, written by Mark Twain in 1881, two young boys who looked incredibly alike, almost by accident, met and exchanged places. The pauper's son living as the king's son and an heir in the royal luxury, while the king's true son lives in the beggar's underworld of London. It has been called a rousing tale of mistaken identity. And it could be that many of God's children live as spiritual beggars, when in fact we are the sons and daughters of the King. This is the tragic truth of our own mistaken identity. We are in fact heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We are in Him, the Bible declares, and He is in us. Praise the Lord. Christ in us also is the full assurance that we are saved and that heaven is our home. He said, you in me and I in you. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 25 through 27. Paul says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I call Christ being able to live within our lives, to literally, spiritually indwell us, to be the down payment on heaven, the hope of glory, the earnest of our inheritance. That's what the Holy Spirit is called when He comes to indwell the believer. Praise God. I love the paraphrase of this scripture. It said, God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His message in all its fullness to you Gentiles. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to His own holy people. For it has pleased God to tell His people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you, Gentiles too. That's everyone who wasn't a Jew. That's me and you if you're not Jewish. And if you are Jewish, you're first in all of this. Hallelujah. For this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in His glory. Someone said, Pastor, I just don't believe I could ever be worthy and holy enough to enter and live in a place where God lives in His heaven. But honey, join the crowd. None of us are holy enough in and of ourselves to do that. But Christ has come to live in us, proving the power of the blood of Jesus to so cleanse and sanctify us that Christ and the Father Himself can come by the Spirit and indwell us. And if the three holiest persons of the Godhead and of heaven can live in us, we can certainly live in that place. Hallelujah. If through the blood of the cross Christ can now live in us, I believe it's safe to say that we can live in the heavenly city. For the city of God is not holy because of its gold or silver, but because of God's presence there. Hallelujah. Look how through this relationship and fellowship we are brought into such glorious blessing and such wonderful privilege. John 17:22 says, And the glory which thou gavest me, Jesus talking to the Father, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Praise God. Can you imagine Christ loving us as the Father loved Him? That is so wonderful to think about today. Amen. We're not deserving of that. There's no merit in me or you to deserve that kind of love from Christ and from the Father. We've sinned against and caused Jesus to be crucified, but this is how the great, mighty love of God works. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior He is. Listen today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, your Lord and personal Savior, and you think, I could never be good enough to go to heaven. Why should I bother going to church, receiving Jesus as my Savior and Lord? I couldn't make it. There's no way. There's no way. Listen, I want you to understand that you're going to get a new identity if you receive Jesus as your Savior today. You know what the Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1? Amen. It said, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. This is not that Holy Ghost power, dunamis. This is another word. This is the word that means He's given us the authority, the legal authority, to become the sons of God and the children of God. You don't become that by becoming sinlessly perfect. You are changed. Hallelujah. Amen. God comes into your life and replaces you into His royal family. Praise the Lord. And I want to invite you today, right where you are, amen, to receive Him, to repent of your sins, and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior today. This is such a life-changing event. Amen. You will be translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son here and now, instantly, that will take place. And when Jesus comes, He will take you up with Him to be with the Lord forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you're doing that right now, we want to welcome you to this great growing family of the children of God. Amen. If you're a Christian today and you have that mistaken identity and you're living as some kind of outsider, amen, I want you to draw close to God today. I want you to pray to a Heavenly Father who loves you and accepts you totally in the Beloved. I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness and overcome the enemy. We love you today. Be sure and come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.